1225 Gresham Fourier. He joins us on Twitch as well with the Clemson hat today. Our guy Andy Hart of WEEI.com. And I apologize for not getting sick on a more convenient timeline for you.
Well, it's not really me. It's more the boss man scrambling and me reading texts that are like 45 minutes old on a Monday morning that say, hey, any chance you can come in? Gresham,
Felix. Yeah, yeah. Well,
you know the traffic. Tuesdays.
Oh, of
don't
course.
Ever be sick on a Tuesday again.
Well,
you can stuff your Tuesday traffic right up your keister.
I'll tell you, I knew that.
It was bad today, too, by the way.
I know it was bad today. I was feeling bad Sunday night, and I did the whole, nah, I go to bed to sleep, I'll be fine. I woke up, and I was like, oh, boy.
It happens.
So, I know it.
Little Andy's always ready to go for Big Andy.
Well, I know that it's a shock whenever you wake up and Laird Mann's blowing up your phone and all that, and it's inconvenient for you. So
it all worked out. It all worked out. Just like the Patriots draft, and it's May Day here in New England, baby. Let's go.
Okay, hold on, Gresh. I can't let you start this interview because I feel like, just like Gerard Bell, you can't do X's and O's until you earn somebody's trust that they feel warm and comfortable.
Oh, that's right.
First, I want to make sure this is that we have made sure that this is a safe space for you. We're not going to have any inappropriate drops. We're not going to make fun of your face or how big your head is.
How about
how tall you are. We're not going to do any of that stuff because we feel like we're not going to get a good interview if your feelings are hurt. So, just want to start with that.
Bing
when
bong.
Did this policy start? 12:25 on May 1st?
It's the new Gresham Fourier show, like the new New England Patriots.
While I have doubts as to how well the love-based coaching, teaching, and everything in Foxborough will work, I know there's no shot in hell it works on this program with YouTube boys.
Yeah, you know,
you mean
like
it wouldn't
ourselves.
Work? Well, hold on, man. Let's Andy Hart be real here, okay? It won't work with you.
Yeah.
Just like it wouldn't work with Christian. Just like it wouldn't work with me. It's the whole... And that's why we, like, furrow the brow and just be like, oh, my God.
And I know you guys have been talking a lot about this, and I struggle with this. And Christian, I think you probably see this. The sports world has changed dramatically. You have kids in high school. I see how high school coaches have to deal with kids. I've coached with high school coaches at the youth level, and they're telling me how they've had to, you know, they're 25-year veterans, and it's like, I can't run gassers like I used to. There's no running for punt. Like, things have changed because now, today, you know what kids will say? I'm out. I don't want to play. You have a soft generate. Like, I know we are hardo old school like Dick Raddatz's in my day, but like these kids need to be coddled. I think Gerard is right. I think he is taking a modern approach to a modern problem. I don't think the modern approach comes first. I think the modern problem comes first. Dealing with the modern kid, the modern athlete, the modern teenager, and then 20-something AAU culture, all these damn 7-on-7 tournaments that are led by Cam Newton people. And like, I think Gerard, and I know Gresh, you're kind of pushing back a little bit on this. I think this is a result of the kids that are coming through. And I would offer up, and I said this to Christian yesterday, I think Bill Belichick has been going in this direction. And I think the streamlining of the offense was an example of Bill Belichick's acknowledgement of, you now need to coach to the modern athlete and person you are receiving. You can't force the modern athlete and person you're receiving to work in a year 2000 system. That's not what happens anymore.
Well, then I expect the 8 wins pretty quickly then. If apparently Bill was just a big meanie and that made everybody lose, then...
It still takes talent.
Oh, so this is nothing more than a coaching philosophy that is maybe being over-emphasized
here. Who was the coolest coach on the planet last fall?
Oh, my God. Sean McVay is the only answer.
Oh, Mike McDaniel.
No,
I would go Deion Sanders. He was the coolest
Sean
guy
McVay.
On the planet. Deion Sanders was the coolest coach on the planet right up until his team played other teams that actually had good talent.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he went 4-8 and sucked.
Yeah, and now the guy's out there, you know, talking himself into knots or whatever.
He's a dink.
Well,
dink of that.
Oh,
Christian Fourier
is.
Nailed the hell out of that
he
one.
He did.
Dink
Fourier,
of the highest order.
Fourier was on it. And listen, the one thing everybody will agree with, Gerard Mayo, not a dink.
Nope.
But here's what it feels like. And Fourier and I just got done talking about this. If Gerard Mayo were the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, I do not think this reaction would be this extreme. It feels like we're going, and you were around for it, Bill Parcells,
yeah,
big meanie. And what happened? The players went to Bobby Greer, get us a nice guy. They got a nice guy, and the nice guy was gone in 3 years, and so were half of those dudes who wanted the nice guy.
But it's hard to necessarily assess, did they go in the wrong direction post-Super Bowl because the coach was a nice guy, because the coach wasn't a good coach, which later he proved he was a good coach, both at the college and the pro level by, you know, winning rings, which is how you prove you're a pretty good coach. Or did they go in the wrong direction in the late 90s because they had the wrong cast of characters and maybe overpaid, over-pampered players who weren't willing to do what it took to win or weren't necessarily fully invested? So
they listened to him too much.
There's a lot of layers.
Like is going on right now.
Absolutely.
Do you want to practice today? Nah, we're going to take day off.
Yeah, and you can argue all these things, but we also know what's the most important thing. It's so boring. It's so cliche. It's so stupid. The most important thing is number 10, Drake May. Just like the most important thing was number 10, Mac Jones, who turned into a puddle of goo. Just like the most important thing was number 12, Tom Brady, and number 11, Drew Bledsoe. Like, those are the guys you ride or die with. Literally, like those, not literally because you don't die, sorry. You figuratively ride or die with, but you lose your job. Gerard said that, right? That NFL.com story. They all know it. I was listening to something this morning with Thomas Dimitroff. The quarterback you take in the top of the draft decides your career, your future. You're either you look smart and you look great and you know what you're doing, or you're on the outside of the NFL looking in because they asked you to turn in your ID card that lets you get in the building.
Yeah, no, and listen, that is why if you pick wrong, the coach always gets fired. But now the GM doesn't necessarily get fired as much as they used to based on a poor pick.
Took forever in Chicago. Hasn't happened in San Francisco yet. They finally got around to it in Arizona after allegedly picking the wrong guy that they're now forcing themselves to build around. I don't necessarily know if that is exactly
they
as
stagger.
Streamlined as
usually
Gerard
they,
Mayo says it is.
But
what he shouldn't be doing. What he
One goes
be,
first, and then the next. Either the GM goes, the coach stays, new GM, then the coach goes, or vice versa. Coach goes, GM gets another year or two. Oh, you actually still stink. You're gone too. Whole new regime.
Oh, well, I guess it's easy here because there's no GM, so there is that.
It's a director of scouting. Proud.
At the moment, there isn't, and I'm assuming, when do you think that will be announced? So I know the most important thing, people say, hey, grade the draft, and even Mayo would say, well, you know, come to me in like, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, and we'll know if these guys are any good, just like any of Bill's draft.
Yep. Just like the ones they're re-signing from Bill's draft.
Do you think that this is now that the draft is over, free agency is technically for the most part over, you will sign some new players, you'll still bring people in. Do you give full title to Elliott Wolf now? There's no longer an interim. There's no longer an asterisk. I also feel like asterisks are important there. So if I really want to make a point, I'm going to say asterisk. I feel like I should say it.
Oh, I need a verb.
I'm just going to say asterisk, and then I'll say the word.
Sure. The North Star.
Yeah.
Those are the words connected to the North Star.
I'm not a big fan of the North Star. Not the actual star, but the
youth. The saying.
In the walls.
It's different. It's different. That's all we are.
It's
different
a little
now.
Wait, hold on. Just yeah. Listen.
Murals. I think murals are for... I like Gerard Mayo a lot. I generally think of murals. I think of dinks. I think of like LeBron James putting one over his bed or something and like, oh, I'm one of those half horse, half man.
The Vince McMahon photo.
Hey, this is me. This is me grabbing the bull by the horns.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Who does
the A-Rod half horse?
Like,
yeah. A-Rod half horse. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to choose to blame Robin Glazer for this because I don't want to blame Gerard for this, but I'm not a big fan of that. I'm fine with all the other stuff. Changing your phrases. I think all coaches do this. They bring in posters and phrases and pictures and all these things.
Perseverance.
And generally they're all the same, right? They all kind of come from the same playbook. It's just which page you pull from and how you want it to be. But the North Star and the mural, I could probably do
without. There's a lot of symbolism. It's a lot, you know? And this is something, it's just for a new coach who hasn't achieved anything as far as a coach goes, like nothing. You're almost like, it's like this godlike figure that is like, you know, all the other players behind him, the symbolism, and there's a little kid looking up and, hey, you can play too. I'm like, okay.
Nope. You know what I would do? Remember when they quietly removed the 16-0 banner? I would quietly paint over this mural.
Does this paint got primer in it? Because I don't want to paint twice.
Yeah, I don't love that. But I do believe there should be, you know, we're talking a lot about details and pessimism and this, and like, this is a massive transition. But I think there should be hope, personally. Like, I do believe you go into the month of May, which is when you're going to start to have the rookies report, and they'll have their mini camp, and then OTAs. And like, why would you not have hope right now? Like, now through August is the time for hope. September could kick you in the freaking collaborative testicles, right? And you could all of a sudden be 0-4 and 0-6, and hope goes out the window. But, and this is what I wrote about this on the website this morning, to pull a Peter King and try to drive people
The headline was very confusing.
He did it on purpose.
See, I told you, he did it on purpose.
Because that gets people like Christian. I've learned in this day and age, I hate the game. But the game involves the headline and getting people to say, I don't know what that means.
But I knew what you meant, because we talked about it, so I knew exactly what you were trying to do.
I do believe that he is sending proper mixed messages. Like, he keeps preaching patience, right? He told Cameron Wolf in this story, patience. But he also slips in on draft night, yeah, I know people want to write us off, but we'll see what happens this fall. So he's still got a little bit of that middle linebacker competitive nature, ex-player, like, don't write us off, is basically what he's saying. And I think he distances himself from the Houston comparison that I kind of used in the story, but I think he also acknowledges that every year the NFL loves to toot its own horn about worst to firsts and number of new teams in the playoffs and turnarounds, and we're a parity-based league and all 32 teams should believe in what they can do. I believe in that. If Drake May can play, you are on your way to returning to playoff contention. That's the simple reality.
I'm with you as far as, mine's less about hope. It's just more about, it's entertaining. I am completely, you know, obsessed with how it's working. What's it going to look like? You know, because everything is brand new. It's almost like you just built a brand new home, and now you're getting furniture. Now you're moving things around, and it is going to be, like, because I keep telling this to Gresh, we have no idea what type of coach he's going to be like. We don't really know, because he's never done it before. There's no history. There's nothing that you can look back on and be like, this is what he's going to do. The whole first year is a Lewis and Clark expedition. Like, that's what it is. Like, that's what it is.
I like that idea. It's going to be interesting. It is the unknown. It's a little bit like, you know, you remember when you go from Matt Patricia to Brian Flores, and you're like, they're the same guy. Exact same guy. They were low-level nobodies who worked their way up under Bill Belichick. But the way they ran the defense could not have been any more different. Matt Patricia believes in that conservative nature. Brian Flores is basically, let's blitz the hell out of somebody. Let's be aggressive. Let's go get it. Let's be creative. Let's take advantage of our talents. And therefore, you know, I don't know what DeMarcus Covington's going to be, just because he's worked under Gerard Mayo and Bill Belichick. I don't know what Gerard Mayo is going to be as a head coach, just because his only knowledge of what a head coach is in the NFL is Bill Belichick. And I think there is an entertaining uncertainty there. That's a weird word. That's probably like a PR spin word. Entertaining uncertainty with this team. But what I can tell you is, Gresh, you may push back. I haven't found this team overly entertaining since Tom Brady left, for 4 years. Even the year they went to the playoffs, I wasn't a real big Mac Jones fan. I think they kind of...
Cam Newton was an interesting just
for like
whole
a week.
Experiment.
Then he sucked.
Well,
then they took the off-ramp to COVID, and he never caught up with the team. And
that's
boring.
Right. Andy, they tricked him.
Yeah.
They changed the playbook.
Right.
They played a joke on him and said, let's see how long it takes for him to figure it out.
No, you know what it was? They didn't get to know him enough. So he didn't have enough confidence.
That could be. His aura was too overpowering. It kept people at arm's distance.
That's a good point, too. He was just so intimidating, because he was gorgeous and tall and handsome.
Gorgeous.
So strong. Yeah, sure. Did you see, real quickly, him interviewing Caleb Williams? Did you see him? Like, the stark difference
size. We were watching it.
In height. Yeah. Caleb Williams is like a child next to him.
That's not fair. Cam Newton's a dude.
That's my point. It is like this guy, Caleb Williams, is now the number one pick in the draft. He's a modern quarterback. He's a runner. He's a thrower. He's a good
feel.
And he talk about his feelings. Holy crap! They drafted the wrong guy. I feel like Drake May is he's the Duke boys. That's Duke boys. They do things different. We don't need no hug. Just let's go on a beer run.
So you're convinced the Patriots got the best quarterback in the draft. You got right? Is that the tone I'm taking? They actually got the best quarterback in the draft.
You want me to co-sign on Drake May, and I've never disliked Drake May.
You yelled at me a week ago.
You got to quit with this whole thing that I didn't say I didn't like him.
All I said is because
you were lying. You were actively lying on the air.
You called me a liar?
I did. Because I just said, okay, J.J. McCarthy is, there's not that big of a difference between the two.
Oh, there's a massive difference. And that's
your opinion.
Well, my opinion is all I care about.
And mine too. So there we see.
I don't give a rat's ass about yours.
2 days with this guy, I don't know if I can do it again. He wore me out. I went to Ken. I said, you know what? I feel sorry for Gresh now. I understand. Now I understand what he goes through on a daily basis. Me trying to corral this guy and control him. He's nuts.
Ain't nobody going to control me. I'm a black stallion.
I'm just glad y'all did this because I'm ready for the 5-win season. There's the expectation. Bingo, bango. We're going to be in the top three again.
And I don't hate that. We'll go to Green Bay.
Set up for it perfectly.
And that's the problem.
But we'll make excuses next year because it'll be, well, they're going to amp up the hugs.
This whole season is a mulligan. The entire season is a mulligan. Well, let's get that straight.
Well, when the head coach comes out and starts talking about the legacy will be defined by and tied to the player who we draft at number three, it sure as hell sounds like that guy better get up and running quickly. And what does it say if the number three pick doesn't come in and perform well as that alleged bum Mac Jones did as a rookie? How could that dare happen?
Well, I don't think anybody called Mac Jones a bum as a rookie. It was a year two bummage that fell apart there when he melted. But it'll also depend on how Jacoby Brissett is playing, because I firmly believe we're going to see Jacoby Brissett early in the year.
Of course we are. Unless
Drake May blows doors in July and August, and it's just like, wow, this kid is special. He's unstoppable. He's LeBron James. He's going to get 20-10 in his first game in the NBA kind of thing. It'll depend a little bit on, is Jacoby Brissett 0-4 and the offense has like 32 points in four games or something, then Drake May is coming sooner. If Jacoby Brissett is piecing it together and somehow they're 2-2 and they're scoring some points and the defense is playing well, that gives you a little bit more runway to evolve with Drake May. But Drake May, I saw Curran put up a poll for his little quick slant show last night. Drake May by Halloween, absolutely. I will be stunned and disappointed if Drake May is not playing by Halloween.
I'm down with that. You just get certain costumes are not allowed, by the way, just because that may be offensive to some people.
Oh, that's right. So when they got to get all that worked out too.
Figure that out.
What Halloween costumes work again?
It's a list of things.
Well, look, Hart, when you left down there at Gillette, they painted a mural of you sitting at a laptop with, you know, a small child leering over your shoulder saying, oh, I'm going to be a writer someday.
Little white kid from Tufts looking up at
there
Andy
you
Hart
go.
Saying, someday I can make it too.
Andy Hart. You can read him at WEEI.com. Hear him on the Six Rings podcast.
Good stuff today. Take a break now.
And you should get the helium out of those balloons in the background.
Yeah, I got to get rid of those.
Yeah,
the time has passed.
Yeah,
the draft
2 weeks
over.
Ago? Yeah.
They've been there for a couple weeks, but you can tell this is all we use the guest room for, is for me to come sit in front of the
helium. Well, there you go then. In that giant printer from, what is that, 2001?
Yeah, I was thinking of replacing that. I'm not going to lie. I was looking at that. It's not wireless.
But you know what? I have another one. I'm like you. It's like, hey, it plugs in and it works.
It still works.
Yeah,
it's a copy.
What do I need to get rid of it for?
The only thing I'd like is, don't they make printers now that I can like wirelessly print from my phone? Is that a thing?
Yes.
That's what I want. I want to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Have fun spending $250 of Staples today. We'll see you, Andy Hart.
Money's no object.
I'm Fourier. No, if he was me, he'd have less money.